Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Finland's parliament voted in favour today of a proposal to apply for membership of NATO in an historic policy shift prompted by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The move is a stunning reversal of Finland's policy on military non-alignment dating back more than 75 years. Its neighbour, Sweden, has also announced that it too will seek NATO membership. In response, there have been reports of Russian mobile Iskander missiles on the way to Vyborg, a western Russian town close to the Finnish border. Professor Alexander Stubb is a former Prime Minister of Finland, and I spoke to him before we came on air. We began by discussing the historic vote in the Finnish Parliament this afternoon of 188 in favour and 8 against the move to towards NATO membership. And I first asked Alexander Stubb if he ever thought this was possible before today.
No, I've been a advocate of Finnish NATO membership for the better part of 30 years. And at some stage, I must admit that I lost hope, especially after the war in Georgia. But things have a tendency to work out in the end. And I think Finnish NATO membership was decided at 5 o'clock in the morning of the 24th of February when Putin and Russia attacked Ukraine. So this was pretty much a move in opinion polls. So now we have 76% of the population behind NATO membership when you used to have about 20%. And then, of course, the political leadership in Finland, including government, prime minister, president, and now parliament, act accordingly. So it is a historic day in Finland, that's for sure.
And this is a country that has prided and guarded its neutrality and military non-alignment, like Ireland, for many, many decades. So you put it down to the invasion of Ukraine, the single, solitary reason primarily for the change in mind.
Yeah, well, pride in neutrality is perhaps the wrong term to use, because I would argue that during the Cold War, when we were neutral out of necessity, not out of free will. We accepted reluctantly a peace with Stalin in 1944 and lost 10% of our land, including the city that you just mentioned, actually, Vyborg, where my grandparents were born and where my dad was born as well. So I think the shift is more sort of a long arch, if you will. And this combination of idealism and realism. Idealism in that bona fide, we always wanted to make Russia part of the West and cooperate with them. But failing that, we were always realists. Have one of the largest standing armies in Europe. And now when push comes to shove, the sentiment is that if Putin can slaughter his Slav brothers and sisters in Ukraine, he can do it elsewhere, and we never want to be left alone again, as we were in World War II, and especially the Winter War and War of Continuation. So we're very practical, pragmatic about this.
Mm-hmm. You were certainly proud of your position as a haven for diplomacy, where it was a neutral ground, Finland, where diplomatic conversations could happen to resolve conflicts or potential conflicts around the world. Finland, after today, will no longer be viewed in that way. And even previous to today, when there was talk of Finland moving towards NATO membership, very strong signals from Russia and the Kremlin that there would be retaliation. Is that something Finland fears?
Well, I mean, two answers on that. The first one is sort of the mediator role. There's nothing that stops us, basically, from still providing a platform for big power conversation. It's something that I at times felt actually quite uncomfortable with, because, that left us a little bit in a gray zone. Whereas I think that when we joined the European Union in 1995 and at the same time became very close partners of NATO, there should have been absolutely no question to which football team we belong. We are part of the West, and that's how we should be seen. Now, second answer is these intimidations. They've actually been quite modest and moderate. I expected there to be slightly stronger language. We never expected any conventional warfare reaction, and I don't see that happening either. So it's more hybrid stuff in the form of cyber attacks. So we saw the homepages of the Finnish Defense Ministry and Foreign Ministry go down when Zelensky was giving a speech in the parliament about a month ago. We'll probably see some violations of Finnish airspace. And then there'll be information and disinformation. So, for instance, Medvedev, former president, the prime minister of Russia, has said that we will move nuclear weapons to the Baltic Sea region, to which we say, well, that is nothing new. You already have them in Kaliningrad. So, you know, there'll be this type of saber rattling, but I think we Finns are quite calm when this takes place.
Mm-hmm. Do you have, or do you see any comparisons or lessons? It's not a direct comparison, obviously, because we have a different historical relationship with Russia. I mean, you share a border that's very long, 1,300 kilometres with Russia. So you have a closer knit relationship historically with Russia. But do you see any comparisons between Finland now and Ireland when it comes to neutrality and the ongoing conversation about that? I mean, any advice for our country?
Not really. I mean, I'd love to draw some comparisons and parallels, but you really can't. I mean, you know, I'd be pushing, well, I don't know if I'm pushing history, but at least reality currently, that, you know, we do have an aggressive, revisionist, authoritarian neighbor in the form of Russia, whereas, you know, no matter what you think about Brexit, that's not exactly what you have at your border. So the situation is very different. And of course, the tradition of neutrality is different as well. And, you know, if you look at our defense forces, you know, your neutrality in terms of defense capability has been real, whereas, you know, ours hasn't, because mm-hmm. we basically have one of the largest standing armies and most sophisticated military equipment around, including, you know, 62 F-18s. We just bought 64 F-35s. So it's not exactly like we bought those because we want to defend ourselves from a Swedish attack, right?
Mm-hmm. So notwithstanding what happened in and what is happening in Ukraine, any retaliation from Russia will most likely initially come in the cyber world. Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. You know, we could have hits on the banking sector. We don't know whether there'll be hits on, you know, energy grids. You know, there could be some viruses sent into information systems, these types of things. But you should always also be aware that in the cyberspace, we have one of the most sophisticated defense mechanisms. And I'm not only talking about our international cyber center, but when the Estonians were hit with a cyber attack in 2007, the alarm bell started to ring in Finland as well. And I remember being foreign minister in 2008, and we were working a lot on the cyberspace. Now, of course, these are not going to be, you know, pitch perfect and secure. There will always be holes, but we're quite sort of ready for this. There was actually just a NATO or Atlantic cyber simulation with Americans involved, and the Finnish team actually won that. So that you know, gives you an indication that we know what we're doing, as the Formula driver Kimi Räikkönen.
It gives you some hope, for sure. Just to go back to your NATO, your application for NATO membership, and this historic vote in the Finnish Parliament today, Turkey has said that he's opposed, or Tayyip Erdogan is opposed to Finland and Sweden joining NATO. Could that be a stumbling block, I wonder?
Yeah, well, I guess he's used different type of language, and there's been some rebuttal from his advisors, and then, you know, come back again. So we don't know exactly where things stand on that. But again, in these types of situations, we do remain quite calm. We understand that there are domestic political issues one or many other of the 30 NATO member states, and some opinions that have to be voiced. But of course, it's up to the alliance to, if I may, get its act together. And I'm sure that strategically, President Erdogan and obviously President Biden will understand that Finnish and Swedish NATO membership is a win-win for the Baltic Sea region, for Europe, and for the alliance by and large. And also, I'm sure that, you know, President Erdogan's institutional memory goes back all the way to 1999, when the Finnish EU presidency actually opened the door for accession negotiations and an eventual membership of Turkey into the EU. So it's not exactly like we're a hostile state to, mm-hmm. to Turkey, and the same goes for Sweden.
Before I let you go, I have to tap your expertise and your experience about another big story that we're talking about here, and I'm sure you're keeping tabs on it as well. The UK has moved a bill to scrap parts of the Northern Ireland Protocol, which is part of the Brexit negotiation and agreement as well. This is an international agreement that they have signed up to and negotiated, and it's causing some to raise eyebrows here. How do you view that? Does it cause the UK, if they proceed with this, reputational damage? Do you think they'll go ahead with it?
Well, you know, I try to stay clear of, you know, headlines that are linked to the UK or say to the Irish protocol. Having said that, I've always been a firm believer in the rule of law and an agreement and sticking to contract. And in that sense, I am slightly surprised to see what the current UK government is doing with the Irish protocol. And I think we're starting probably to see the ripple effects and side effects of Brexit ever since 2016 and the complications of it. And one could perhaps argue that we saw that in the elections in Northern Ireland as well. This is a very important story. There's no denying that. But at the same time, probably my mind as a Finn is at the moment focused a little bit more closely to the border that we have with Russia.
Okay, well, can I thank you for joining us in the programme today on what is an historic day, without question, for your country. And people will argue the toss one way or the other about the vote in the Finnish Parliament, but it's one step closer, certainly, to NATO membership. Professor Alexander Stubb, former Prime Minister of Finland, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.